one nation, one language, one culture, and that's God's law written on their hearts, fulfilling his will on the earth. Plain, straightforward like this. Many races, but all have the same thing. We can see now we speak the same language. We come together, that's in common. We couldn't communicate if we don't have the same language. So you can see the people of God, God draws them together, one language to communicate and be able to talk to each other. And God's law written on our hearts that we know what's the right thing to do. So he just draws us back in there and building his nation. And that was the message of Jesus. His message was all the time, God's kingdom. God's kingdom is near. God's kingdom, wait for God's kingdom. And it's just absolute amazing. And I had quite some experience with different nationalities, visiting different nations. I've been to four continents, visited, I think far over 10 different countries while on a ship for 2 years, sharing the ship as a home with 350 people from 40 different nations. And so just floating around, going from one place to another. So I can tell you there are some stories there, but there's no time today. And my wife, by the way, she's not here this morning, not because any clashes or whatever, no. she's actually speaking for the Mercy Ships today, just today in a different church, but hopefully she'll join us on time for lunch later on. But coming to this, and maybe as an encouragement for some of you, cultures, one of the big things I noticed on the ship was task-oriented, like me, German, and as people-oriented, my wife, coming from Asia. And if you talk about problems and issues, maybe getting married, man, there's a starter for that one. But I must say, we are more than 20 years married. I would say from my side, and I think speak for my wife, happy married. And so there is nothing you can take as an excuse if you work it out together. And all the people who are into football, you don't put people with the same skills together. No, you have as much diversity as you can, so you can cover everything. And so I think we are, if you work together, wow, we do well. We are a great team. Amen. Just a sideline, sorry. So, I lost the plot a bit, sorry for that. Where was I? God building his great nation. So, we have, if you look around the world, there are nations with big privileges, and I actually printed out a list with the 44 nations around with the biggest privileges. And interesting, Switzerland, what a surprise, right on top. And I actually had a look as well as Emirates, the privilege they have there, you wouldn't believe. You get free land to get built on. You get a loan, don't need to pay interest for it to build a house. If you get married, you get $19,000 for your wedding. Free healthcare, free education. And everybody's like, whoa, let's try to get to the Emirates and be part of this. But you know what? They are not appearing on the list of the 44 countries in the world. Guess why? Money is not all, exactly. So there are other issues in there. So they, on this list, they take 20 different points together, and Emirates, they don't even make it on this list of the 44 countries. Wow, that's amazing. But I need to round up quickly now. And just to say, we always look privileges, blessing. Many times you think about money, but it's not money. It's definitely not money. Of course it helps. And I can say I've served God for over 10 years. And when we actually needed money, because we had to move, we had no place to stay, God provided. And we have a house. We live in a house now. We could afford mortgage, praise God. And live in a house now. We didn't know where to go, but God was faithful. And I just wanna challenge you. Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, you know what, you talk about his kingdom. I want to be part of this kingdom. How can I be part of this kingdom? He had to sneak in the night because he would have risked everything. But he said, no, it's important. I need to know that. So he came in. Jesus says, you need to be born again. So it means, even in this country, you became part of this, the nation of the UK. I'm not sure if you're aware of it. In January 1948, the law was changed. Before, you're born here, automatic British citizen. After 1984, January, it was changed. We guess we know why this happened. But even there, part of God's kingdom, you have to be born again. So it means God's Spirit needs to come back into us, that we are able to communicate with Him, that we are in the state how it was with Adam and Eve before, that we can be this nation He wants us to be. And if you think about the Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's exactly where He wants to go. Back with Adam and Eve, but this time they did the work. Amen. Amen. And my alarm is just off. Wow. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. I don't need to say anything. He said it all. It's like he actually looked into my jotter and started saying it. Praise the Lord. Okay, I need to set an alarm as well. Many times when I'm confused and I'm looking for answer, I go to the beginning. In the beginning. The reason I do that is because when God was starting everything from nothing, from everything being dark, He had an idea. He had a picture in His mind. He wanted something, and then He started it. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, it says, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Sometimes when I'm feeling low, and I go to the mirror and I look at myself and I don't like what I see. I'm like, no. God said, very good. Amen. Whatever it is that we're going through, if it doesn't answer that very good, it's still work in progress. The end result is very good. Why? Because this is what God had in mind. This is God's original plan. It hasn't changed. Man changed. We moved away from the manual. We moved away from the instruction. Is it God's fault that He gave us a will? He could easily have made us like goats. Like, just go that way, go that way, go that way. But no, God said He's going to make us like Himself. That was His original plan. And He gave us a will. All we needed to do is so easy. What did He say we should do? Let's just do it. And I don't know. I don't know what Eve was looking for, extra thing that she was looking for. But God hasn't changed. His plan hasn't changed. So when I'm confused, I try to find my way back to the beginning. What's God's plan? So what exactly is God's plan? I titled this Why Jesus Came, but I want to start from the beginning. So I might not finish. Well, wherever we stop, I pray that you'll be blessed. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God's plan was for us to have dominion. So if something is dominating you at the moment, suppressing you, making you feel bad, it's not in the plan. So we have to go back to God. Until we get back to what it should be, it's not God's plan. Many times when I'm going through things, I'm like, maybe God wants it like that. But when I think about the beginning and God's plan, I don't allow the devil to deceive me anymore. If it's not in the plan, it's not his will. So the plan of God was going on well until suddenly in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid. First time. Why would you hide from your dad if you haven't been very naughty? And they know they have been very naughty. You can just imagine me looking like Tim looking for Reuben. And you are like, in the sitting room? No. In his room? No. In the kitchen? Garden? Reuben, where are you? And he's somewhere hidden saying, Dad, I'm afraid of you. Can you just imagine? It's not imaginable. You can imagine how God would have felt. Like, what happened to my man? Where is the woman? What happened to my very good? And that's how God started. Let's make a plan. This is not the original plan. And I love these people so much, I cannot leave them the way they are. We have to make a plan. That's how our Jesus came in. Praise God for Jesus. So in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says, sorry, I had to bring this so I can open it. Okay. So Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Praise God. It shows that God has not changed his mind. The only thing is that he has to unfold his plan little by little. And Jesus has come to fulfill this plan. So it says Jesus will come to save his people from their sin. Why? God was able to walk in the garden. I think God was waiting for a very beautiful conversation with Adam. Like, okay, so what did you do today? How was today? And Adam would just go on and on about the garden, about the beautiful flowers, about how Eden made a very lovely salad, fruit salad. But instead, it was them hiding and seek and doing hide and seek. But the Bible has said Jesus has come to save us from all of those. That means we can actually go back to the Garden of Eden kind of experience. Really? Is it possible? But of course, yes. The only thing is that the whole heart is not yet the Garden of Eden. So we have different individuals knowing Christ and taking him everywhere they go. But we have to allow God to have his fullness in our lives in order for that to happen. So yes, Jesus came. He came to save us from our sin. He came to give us access to our God again. God cannot withstand sin. No. As much as Moses was very close to God, even when he said he wanted to see God, God was like, not yet. I still have an assignment for you. And God made an arrangement for him to see his backside. But Jesus Christ is saying, we can see him. So he came, he said, by my blood, no more blood of the goats, no more blood of the lamb. By my blood, I can do. So what Adam failed to do at that time, Jesus came to finish. But he didn't just do that. He didn't just jump from heaven and just die on the cross and say, now the blood is available. Just wash yourself and you're back. No. He came as a baby and he grew up to an adult, making decisions along the way, being tempted as he went. Why? So we can see how it is done. So we can understand that it's not going to be easy. It's like you're going on a race. You look at the time, you know that based on this timing, you are number one. Does it mean you won't run? You still have to race. Otherwise, that number one, it's just going to be in your dream. So Jesus is trying to let us know we can live this life. But this is how it is done. Praise the Lord. So he came to reconcile us back to God. He came to show us that a successful Christian walk is possible. So Jesus has done it. He has died. And he's now risen and seated at the right hand of God. He did a very good job. We know that, right? And so we should expect that we go to heaven and just lie down and say, yes, my brothers are going to be coming one by one. Peter is here, Paul is here, everybody is going to be coming. But no, Jesus is there beside God, praying for us, interceding for us. Say, oh, that girl has gone that way. Father, you know that's not the right way. Let's just direct her like this. That's what he does. He's not sitting down in heaven just looking. He's praying for us. And the desire is that we are supposed to be here on earth still, even though we are here on earth. But we are supposed to be seated in heaven. Why? What does that mean? It means that we are supposed to live that life that Adam was supposed to be living in the garden, here on earth. So we don't wait until we get to heaven. It's here already. So what do we need to do? My time is almost up. So yes, the first thing is we have to be born again. We heard that already. Because without that, you are permanently disconnected from God. The first step is to get back into the family of God. To get back into, remove that barrier and get closer to him. We have to be born again. This is one of the reasons Jesus came. We have to give it. When Danik was being dedicated, you remember there was question and there is a response. I do. That's the power of the will. We have to decide and ask. Because it's not just believing in your heart. You have to say it with your mind and your sins will be forgiven. And the second thing is we have to stay connected. Don't just say, okay, yes, I am here, and then you move wander off again. No, you have to stay connected. Now, it's not physical. If I want to know anybody better, all I can do is to walk to you and we start talking. But it's not like that. We can't see God with our face, with our eyes. So we just have to do it in a spiritual way. How do we stay connected? We have to read his word. We are so lucky he didn't just leave us like that, waiting for us to guess, second guess everything. But no, we have Emmanuel. And we have the Holy Spirit. He works in us. Many times you just hear something in your spirit telling you what you need to do. And many times you just read something in the Bible and that is the answer you're looking for. But whatever the situation is, don't stop until you get that answer. Whatever, even when you're not looking for anything, just for, like he came in the garden, looking to talk to us, just talk to him. Every day, every morning. Can you imagine us waking up in the house and our children are just like, as if we are not there. They're just going about their business. You go past them and it doesn't work. We have to talk to him. And we do that by studying the Bible, praying and praising him, worshiping him. We have to stay connected. It's quite important. And number three is to believe. Oh my God, the time is up. We have to believe. We have to stay obedient to whatever he says. That I do should be our song every day. Lord, what would you have me do? The answer is, I do. And then, lastly, we should ask. If something is not going the way you expect it to go, please ask. Don't say your daddy doesn't want you to have it. Just imagine if you're a dad, if your son needs something, and you say, and he comes and he says, I need this, and you say, it doesn't work that way. For instance, if he's 10 and he wants a car, you say, maybe when you're 16 or 17, you know, but not, no, why did you ask? God is never like that. If it's a need, God is interested, and God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Actually, to tell me what to speak about. So if you think it's rubbish, blame Tano. And Mark has asked me three times to keep within 10 minutes. So if you see Mark coughing, he didn't get bad cold. It's me going over. Okay. Probably half of you don't know me at all. Half of me know a little bit. So some of you would know that I enjoy doing some endurance races, like Ironmans, swimming too far, running too far, climbing too high, and so on. And I can write my own little book of how to do endurance race. But I will try to keep it Short, nice and neat. So I will stick to 4 points. And why do I want to talk about this? Because our life is actually endurance race. So for very unfortunate minority, life is going to be sprint race. But for majority of us, life is endurance race. And it goes through various valleys, routes, obstacles, valleys of happiness, valleys of grief, and so on and so forth. And as at all endurance race, we need to be prepared for it, and we need to know how to go through this. And we want to make sure that we pass the finish line, not as like limping through the finish, but in a happy attitude, with a great feeling that we achieved and accomplished something great, and that our life was worth living, and that actually, God is looking at our life, also enjoys how we lived it through. So how do we go through this endurance race? So 4 points. First one, and actually all of them are obvious, but you cannot imagine how many endurance athletes I've seen who ignored those obvious points and really suffered because of their arrogance. So first one is training. You can't do an endurance race unless you train. Right. So one of the latest endurance races I've done was a swim run through Isles of Scilly. So basically you swim from island to island, run across the island, swim to another island, run across, and so on and so forth. So I'm a fairly good swimmer. I'm an all right run. I thought, what can possibly go wrong? Why do I need to train this specific? Because I know how to do it in beats. So you just gather all the beats together. Right. So what I didn't realize is that you actually need to, once you swim from island to island, then you need to run in that wetsuit in the heat of like 30 degrees, and you're not running on a stadium or a track, you're running through brambles, bushes, rocks, and whatever. When they say it's trail run, never believe the word run. It's trail. It's like climbing the rocks. It's going through the waterfalls, whatever. It's nothing but. But anyway, so I've done it. But I started very energetically and with big smile, and actually got a good finish photo. But the last half of the race was a bit of misery for me. And I know that if you watched the film, obviously, probably you did, Forrest Gump, when he decided to run, and he said, well, I ran across the yard, I can run across the city, I can run across the state. It never works this way, never. So don't use this as your guidance for endurance life. So, and if we turn to the Bible, actually it tells us in 1 Timothy 4:8, for while bodily training is of some value, okay, so what I was telling you is very important, it's actually of some value. Godliness is of value in every way as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So this is a secret. If you want to go through your life, through this endurance race with good result and with happiness and the joy and enjoyment, then you need to make sure that you train and put a little bit of training into physical education, but mostly train in your godliness. So may you go through this endurance race very well trained and equipped in godliness, because that will help you to go through this race. Then, I'm probably running off time, so I will skip this illustration. So next point is nutrition. And I see Hannah is smiling. So some would know me as always asking the question, do we have enough nutrition before we go on a bike ride? Because I learned this a hard way. If you go, so the secret of endurance race, if you eat when you're hungry, you're eating too late. That means that you already, your energy sources are completely off, and you're not going to make it to the finish. You always need to sustain, replenish your energy sources before you feel hungry. So that actually works the same with our life. If you know such expression, popcorn Christians. So those Christians, we just learned about God. They learned that they are saved. And they start very energetic. Let's preach in this country. Let's bring testimony to the whole world. And in a year time, okay, I think I need to take a 10-year break or something. So that's what happens when you don't constantly replenish your energy sources. That's happening when you do not take care of your energy. You give out, and that is great, but you also need to take in, because you can't give out unless you have it in yourself. And one of the weirdest experiences I had in my life in those races is when we were crossing glacier, and it was nice sunny day for most of the people, but when you're wearing 30K rucksack and you like all this warm clothes and the sun is shining bright and it also reflects from the, and you're feeling like you've been a little bit in microwave. And we ran out of water supply, but we could hear water running under the ice. And that was a very weird experience. You're so thirsty. You can hear the water, but you can't get a hold of it. And when we finally found, well, at some point we just started just trying to like using our nails to get a bit of ice to put it in our mouths. But once we found some waterfall or something, some spring, we started drinking this water. And that's when we fully appreciated what Jesus was offering to that lady at the well. You will have the water which will never be sufficient for you. That water was not sufficient for us for like another few days because we were drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking it. And yeah. Okay, so that's number three. And obviously, you know what nutrition you need. You need Jesus, who is the bread of life, right? And you need that living water, which only Jesus can give. And once again, when you're on this race, when you're in your life, you always need to eat before you're hungry. Because a lot of people get into this trap. So we are great, we're fine. And then when they're exhausted, they start praying, they start asking for strength, they start looking towards Jesus, which is great, but a little bit too late. Because if you have done this a week ago, if you have done this a month ago, if you have done this on your daily basis, if you have done this every day or every week as your daily or weekly routine, you would have never got, well, I can't say never, but the chances of getting to that point when you are just exhausted and you just don't know what to do and you just want to like lay and die, you're minimizing the risk of the situation. So nutrition. Third one, and can't be more obvious, right gear. But I can tell you another story. When we climbed Mount Elbrus, which is the highest mountain in Europe, and obviously that's like journey of a lifetime, and everyone wants to do this, and you train for this, and you want to finish it. And one guy lost his sunglasses, but he was with his girlfriend, and he wanted to show off. And you start at night when it's still stars and so on. And he thought, okay, well, I can't turn back. This is my girlfriend. She will make it. I won't make it. No. So he started. But when the sun came out, he got nearly blind because you can't go through the glacier in the broad daylight. Sunlight and without sunglasses. So he was like going like this the way back, and he never made it. And that must have been an epic journey for him. But he was too arrogant for having right gear, and journey of his lifetime went a little bit too bad. So what does Bible tell us in Ephesians? I will read actually. Someone yesterday or today, the boys camp told us, oh, I think that was Dion, said, oh no, that was Pat. Yeah, that even if it's 90% of you and 10% of God, that's still good because at least there is 10% of God. So I will, at least for 10% of my speech, I will quote Bible. So therefore, take up full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil days and having done everything to stand firm. This is your right gear, full armor of God. You can find the small pre-description in Ephesians. But you need this armor to make it through. And the fourth one, I just wanted to make like impressive sentence. Unless you are David or Jonathan's arm bearer, you can't fight the war without armor. Okay, let's move on. The fourth one, you need to keep focus. And again, can't be more obvious, but this morning from the boys' camp, we were driving in the car, right, Pat? And we saw the sign, road closed ahead. We thought, nah, you won't fool us. And we were driving even further. And again, sign, no, you got to be kidding. And then again, nah, it just can't be. It's a joke. Obviously, when we drove all this way, and we were just this close into getting to the main road in Ainsford, it literally, this was just like between this and this, the road was blocked. And we had to turn and deroute, and we've lost a precious 20 minutes. So you always need to keep focused and not to divert. Well, you need to divert when someone who is in charge is telling you to divert. Otherwise, don't divert. And so last weekend, we did a weekend away with family, and we climbed Snowdonia, Snowdon Mountain. And during the climb, Robert was a little bit tired and starting to feeling a little bit exhausted. But then we told him, okay, the one who gets first to the summit of Snowdon gets 1 pound. You couldn't have stopped, 2 pounds, sorry, Lenin negotiated more. So you couldn't have stopped this boy. I always have to yell for him, stop, wait for us, you will get your pound or 2 pounds, whatever. And he made it to the top first, and everyone was all the people were just limping through, and he was just running there. So if you have right motivation, if you have right focus, you can make it. The question is, what is motivation for us, right? So are we in the right motivation? And again, I'm going to share some few verses with you. So Proverbs this time, keep your eyes focused on what is right and look straight ahead to what is good. Be careful what you do and always do what is right. Don't turn off the road of goodness. Keep away from evil path. And I totally appreciate that the focus can be not very clear. Right, it can be sometimes a bit misty, a bit disturbed, and sometimes you see the focus, you see the goal, but you don't understand how on earth you get into this position, and why does it make sense? Why do you have to go through this? How is it possible that the period which you go through in your life is God's plan, is God's great, amazing, beautiful, wonderful plan, which you don't enjoy at this particular moment? And again, as it says in Corinthians, for now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So sometimes it doesn't make sense, and it not always will, but God knows. God knows, and God is in charge. And if you stick to the path, if you keep your focus on, if you keep God's guidelines and His provisions, then you're going to make it. And sometimes you may not like outcome. Just as one, I promise, last example. We were on a mountaineering trip, and we were to climb one of the mountains. And we could see the mountain. It was about 3 or 4 hours just journey from where we were. From where our instructor told us to turn back. He said, I know that you're going to make to this mountain within 3-4 hours, but the weather is changing. And although you will make it there, you're not going to make it back. You cannot imagine the level of frustration which we had. Our collective vocabulary of swear words was just immense. But sometimes, you have to listen. You have to listen to the one who knows and who gives guidance and the one who is in charge, because he's in charge. So once again, 4 points. First one. Training. Yeah. Second. Nutrition. Third one.
Right here.
Yes. And the fourth one.
Focus.
God bless you.
Amen. No, thank you, Constantine, and thank you, Werner and Banker. It was great to have it. Well, it's really, I think we're really blessed by having this, everyone different share. It's been really encouraging listening to everybody. We're pleased to know the service will now finish here. So if you've been watching online, thank you for watching. And the bit I know all of our